We want to take a look at back at 2022 for just a few minutes this morning and see just some of the things that's been happening and how they relate to prophecy, particularly the events that leads up to the coming of our Lord. And as Bob and Dean were singing that song, how beautiful heaven must be. You stop and think for just a minute how beautiful this earth is. Back in 2014, we had an opportunity to go out west and see the mountains out west. And I tell you, beauty. We didn't get as far out into Oregon and Washington out where Bob is from. But anyway, this earth is just, there's just so much beauty. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, that we can go and be with Him. He's been preparing that place for 2,000 years. He created this earth in 6 days. And the beauty of it, I can't imagine what is in store for us, folks. I really can't. Okay. I did want to mention, in your bulletin, I left this out of my presentation this morning, about there's particularly about the 15-minute city. You need to read that article that's in there by Jan Markell. It's really something. The latest stage of the 15-minute city agenda is to place electronic gates on key roads and in and out of the city, confining residents to their own neighborhood. This is something that's a reality that's already happening in England. Okay? And they're talking about that even for here in the U.S. If you have noticed all of the construction of these big high-rises around Sanford, you go over to the West Coast, and on the way over there, you just see hundreds of these things. What is up with that? Okay, just say it. As we look at this review, before we get into what I really want to talk about this morning, I want us to take just a few minutes to review our doctrinal and prophetic view as it's revealed in God's Word, because things have a way of becoming tangled in our minds. Sometimes things leak out. I know that as I study God's Word, and I'll look at a cross reference, I'll go over, it'll take me over to a portion in the Word, and I made all these notes about this particular thing, and I forgot long ago that I've made those notes. And so, if you find that what we're talking about this morning here, particularly from Daniel chapter 9, we're going to look at Daniel chapter 9, beginning in verse 24 and go through 27 there. Want to do it kind of hurriedly, so you'll have to just pay attention to that. But in doing that, if you find yourself, oh, I already know that. I already know that the rapture comes before the tribulation. I already know that. But just in case there maybe is a few things that has kind of slipped aside or become tangled a little bit in your mind, like it does in my mind, there may be some things here that it can be refreshed in your mind. Rapture. Rapture, according to Titus 2:13, is the blessed hope of the appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Just to be absolutely clear, the leadership of Sanford Bible Church believes that the second event of Christ is not referring to the rapture, nor is Jesus' coming to catch the believers up to meet Him in the air referring to the second event, the coming of Christ. While they're closely related, they are two distinct separate events, at least 7 years apart. At least 7 years apart. And they serve two different purposes. They are for two different people groups, as we're going to see. The rapture happens before the tribulation. The second coming comes directly at the end of the tribulation. As the tribulation ends, Christ is coming back. We see that there, particularly in Thessalonians, Acts, 1 Corinthians. The bride of Christ, those of us that are part of the church, we're the bride of Christ. We have judgment coming at the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to be judged for our works, good and bad. Okay? At that time, at that judgment, we're going to receive rewards, and there'll be some lack of rewards. There's no sign that points directly to the rapture. However, when you see what's happening, the prophecies that are coming and being fulfilled about the beginning of the tribulation, and we know that we're not going to be here during the tribulation, that must mean that the rapture is going to happen pretty soon. Bob sent me an article last night, and I read the article. It's kind of a long article, but it talks about the season and how we can discern the season of when the tribulation and about the second coming and how all of that fits in. In Daniel chapter 9, and if you want to turn with me this morning to Daniel chapter 9, we're going to look here at these particular things. The 77s is revealed to Daniel in Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. When we look at this, I want us to notice something. For a long time, I never really understood, or I really didn't see this particular fact about these verses. Now, maybe I ought to just read these verses so you'll know just where we're at. In Daniel chapter 9, in verse 24, it says, 70 weeks have been decreed for your people and your holy city, to finish the transgression, to make an end of sin, to make atonement for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy place. So you are to know and discern that from the issuing of the decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until Messiah, the Prince, there will be 7 weeks and 62 weeks, it would be built again with plaza, moat, and even in the times of distress. Then after 62 weeks, the Messiah will be cut off and have nothing, and the people of the Prince who is to come, the people of the Prince who is to come, that's Romans, that's the Romans, that's Titus, because this is why, the prince who is to come will destroy the city and the sanctuary. The people are going to do it, and they're the people of the prince that's coming. And its end will come with a flood, even to the end will be war. Desolations are determined, and he, that's the prince, will make a firm covenant with the many for 1 week, but in the middle of the week he will put a stop to the sacrifice and grain offering, and on the wing of abominations will come one who makes desolate, even until the complete destruction that is decreed is poured out on the one who makes desolate. That's what we're talking about in that particular scripture there. But what I want us to notice that sometimes doesn't stick out in this, because this tribulation time is the most horrific time the world has ever known. It's not going to be a good time. But what I've seen in this particular thing is the grace of God in this decree. There is grace in this. And the grace is, instead of God casting away Israel. In the beginning of chapter 9 here, Daniel's talking about all of the sins that Israel has committed, all the transgressions. And instead of God saying, I'm done with you, you're gone, you're out of here, no more with you, I have nothing to do with you, you have prostituted yourself to other gods, you've done every wicked thing you can imagine, even killing babies. And God says, but this is for your restoration as well as your discipline. God disciplines us as Christians when we walk away and when we find ourselves entering into things that are really not appropriate for us as believers, where we're dishonoring God's name. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 7 and 11, perhaps you'll remember those verses, but it says that if God doesn't chastise you, then you're not one of His children. Because we all fall into areas where we need to be chastised. Now, saying that doesn't mean that every time we go through sickness or something, God is chastising us. That's not what we're saying. But there are times that God disciplines us to bring us back into favor in relationship with Him. That's what happens. And that's what He's doing with Israel through the 70th week, the tribulation. That's grace. Because they're not getting what they deserve, they're getting what they don't deserve. And that's His grace. Okay, these 70 weeks, Daniel, he's been in prayer, he set his face to pray to the Lord and to find solutions to the life and to confess the sins. And he talks about these 70 weeks. Now, these 70 weeks are 490 years. Why do I say they're 490 years? The Hebrew word for weeks is shabuim. And what it means is sevens, plural. Shabuim means sevens, plural. That's what that word is. So in the Hebrew, what he's saying here, it's 70 sevens. 70 times sevens. Now, what are these sevens? Following the context, we can see that Daniel knew and observed the Sabbath year rest that's found in Leviticus chapter 25, verses 1 through 8, where every 7 years they were to let the land rest. They were only supposed to plant for 6 years, and then the seventh year, they're going to let the land rest, and they're not going to plant anything. The fields are to lay dormant during that particular time. So they're every 7 years. And so Daniel knew that when he says 77s, he knew that he was talking about 70 times the 7 years. And when you take 70 times 7, you come up with 490. So in our understanding, we're talking about 490 years. These 490 years are divided into 49 years, 434 years, and a 7-year time period. Out of these years, they have already passed away. 483 of those years have already passed away. So it leaves 7 years. And that's how we get a 7-year tribulation that's yet to be fulfilled. I'm going to leave a couple of these statistics out. We won't need, but those 7 years were decreed upon Israel. And in the end, Israel will be restored. Now, to speak a little bit sarcastically, if the church has replaced Israel, as many claim, there's a lot of people that the church has replaced Israel. God's done with Israel. That takes away from God's grace. We have not replaced Israel. Israel is still on the scene. Okay? If the church has replaced that, then the church is going to have to go through the tribulation. Anybody want to go through tribulation? No, I don't. But also going through the tribulation, what's going to happen during the tribulation? Israel is going to be giving animal sacrifices. That means if the church is Israel, we're going to have to start doing animal sacrifices. Don't want to do that either. We don't want to go through that. And then 3.5 years, after 3.5 years in the tribulation, there's a lot of us going to be killed, and then the rest are going to flee into the mountains and the wilderness to escape the time of the Antichrist there in the last half of the tribulation. You see how one little twisting of Scripture can lead to a huge tangled mess that you can't explain? When we look at prophecy, we look at it fitting together like a glove. It all has to just kind of mesh together and make sense. I'm going to leave some of this for another time, but in Luke chapter 21:24, Jesus affirms what has been decreed on Israel in Daniel when he said, "And they will fall by the edge of the sword and be led away captive into nations. And Jerusalem will be trampled by Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles is fulfilled." Now, saying that the tribulation is for the purpose of restoring Israel, that doesn't mean the Gentile nations aren't going to have some problems as well. He's going to deal with the Gentile nations and their kings, their masses that have rejected Christ, the Antichrist, the false prophet, the mother of harlots, Satan's, and his angels. He's going to deal with all of that. Not only will they suffer horrible physical problems within the tribulation, they're going to get to spend eternity in the lake of fire that burns forever. That's a different outcome than for Israel. Okay, looking back, how far and how fast we've come since January of 2022. When I look at all of these things that we have here, and not just what I have here this morning, what we're going to look at, it just blows my mind. There's so many, and we don't have time to only look at just a few of those particular things that just turned on that have happened. I want to look at just three things that pertain to Israel, things that have been happening in 2022. There's a building up of a coalition of nations found in Ezekiel 38:39 prophecy of Gog and Magog. These prophecies pertain particularly to the fulfillment of the 70th week. I'm going to consider just three of these things that have been happening in particularly in 2022, some before. You see here on this, there's three different agendas merging into one appointed purpose of Ezekiel. I want to just look at that for just a moment. I got a couple of verses here in Ezekiel, chapter 38. It says in verse 1, "And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, set your face toward Gog in the land of Magog and the prince of Rosh, Meshach, and Tubal, and prophesy against him." Thus says the Lord, "Behold, I am against you, O Gog, prince of Rosh, Meshach, and Tubal. I will turn you about and put hooks in your jaws, and I will bring you out and with all your army, horses, horsemen, and all splendidly attired." And then he goes on in verse 5, "Persia, Ethiopia, put with them, and a shield and helmet of good, the shield and helmet as well." Okay. Three different agendas. And you'll see here, Vladimir Putin, Ibrahim Raisi, and Erdogan, in this particular picture here, What's happening now is they're forming, beginning to form the coalition that's talked about here in Ezekiel. This next photo you'll see here with Iran, Russia, Iran, and Turkey, meetings in Iran aim to reshape the region with implications that are found here in 38 and 39 particularly, that alignment. You'll see there all of these nations that were just mentioned here in Ezekiel. And one thing I want you to notice here in this particular map is you look there right in the center, you see Israel. And Israel is referred to in Scripture as the belly button of the world. And then you look around at all these other nations, what religion is that?
Muslim.
Okay, there's little tiny Israel. And talk about wanting to know whether God's word is really true or not. There's this little Israel, and you can answer that question. Is God's word true? Israel. Okay. In that particular slide there, as you see that Put, Kush, Persia. Persia is Iran, of course. Rosh, we believe, is Russia. And some other time we'll talk more about that, but right now I'll move on. You got Magog, which is Kazakhstan, Uzbekistan, and the other stands there that you see there. Okay, another thing going on with Israel is Putin wants ownership of the churches, the Christian churches in Jerusalem. He is actually suing Israel to be able to have control, ownership of the Maria Magdalena Monastery, the Ascension of Monastery, and the Vidi Galilea Church, people of Galilee, all situated on Mount of Olives in Jerusalem. The Church of the Ascension towers atop of the Mount of Olives, preserving the memory of Christ's ascension. The bell towers echoes across Jerusalem, the old city. And Putin wants control of these churches. You wonder what's going on here. On behalf of President Putin, former Prime Minister of Russia, Sergei Stepashin, I think that's kind of how you say his name, the man responsible on behalf of assets in Israel, he's defined as the head Palestinian Imperial Orthodox Society, is filing lawsuit in Israel to claim, Israel court to claim ownership of the three historical churches. The new lawsuit is clearly intended for eternal propaganda in light of Putin's declining popularity to garner support from Russian citizens. Putin is brandishing his muscles before the international community as the churches are considered holy throughout the Christian world. What we may not realize from the news is that Putin is really losing favor with the Russian citizens, with the Russian people. Can you imagine how much we see going on in our country right now as to what's happening in destroying our everything we stood for, and how much we don't like that? Can you imagine if we were doing what Putin is doing, if our government was doing that? I'll tell you, that would really, really change how we really felt. And that's what is going on with Putin. One thing about that, this Mark Wattman says this. This was December 27th, 2022, just a few weeks ago. He says, Shalom. Putin wants a lot of things. Ukraine, Crimea, and Israel proper. His forces will be destroyed on the mountains of Israel, Armageddon, leaving but a sixth part. Of course, Putin has not yet read from Ezekiel 38 and 39, but nonetheless, their allegiance of Gog Magog, alliance of Gog Magog, will come to understand all too well. It's not up to me. I wish it were. Because Putin would not get an inch of Israel. Period. I really like that quote. Okay. The second thing here that I wanted to talk about is the preparation of the building of the third temple. This slide here says quotations from an article by Compass International. It's a Jewish nonprofit ministry. Israelis call for rebuilding their temple and returning to animal sacrifices. This was back in April of 2022 that this was taken from. This portion of scripture in Zechariah 12:3 says, "It will come about in a day that I will make Jerusalem a heavy stone for all of the peoples. All who lift it will be severely injured, and all the nations of the earth will be gathered against it." Since 1948, when Israel miraculously became a nation, again, after some 1900 years of not being a nation, being scattered around the earth, around the world, the United States has been her only true ally. However, with the current administration, this is no longer true, since our current administration, the Biden administration, supports Iran. And you don't have to go far to look at that, to see that. So at this current time, there isn't any nations that can be classified as an ally for Israel. All of the world has come against Israel. Does that tell us what time period we might be living in? That's what it says in Zechariah chapter 12, verse 3. From Israel Today magazine or news, whatever. It says the time has come to sacrifice the Passover lamb on the Temple Mount. They're wanting to sacrifice a lamb on the Temple Mount. Jews aren't even allowed to pray on the Temple Mount. Do you know who says that Jews can't pray on the Temple Mount? The secular leaders of Israel. That's their law. But the Muslim has something to say about this. For years, Orthodox Jews have been performing Passover sacrifice on the hill around Jerusalem. This year, they hope to return the ceremony to the Temple Mount. Of course, we know that that failed. The Israel Today article includes this paragraph. Responsible Jewish, Christian, and Muslim leaders should use this recent wave of Islamic violence to immediately begin discussing practical and peaceful steps for rebuilding the temple on the Temple Mount. It could be done without damaging or disrespecting the Dome of the Rock or Al-Aqsa as part of a future peace plan between Israel and her Arab neighbors to end the plague of Islamic terror once and for all. That's what they're after. That's what a lot of your Jews, your Orthodox Jews, those that are really wanting the temple and wanting to do worship God in that way, and what they're wanting to do is to do away with that. It says here, Israel is under attack. Terrorists are coming out of their lairs, murdering Jews all across Israel. We cannot wait any longer. Now we must sacrifice the Passover lamb on the Temple Mount, where the Holy of Holies still stands, to put an end to the terror and make peace with the Most High G-O. Well, they say G-D. Which we say God, okay? This is an actual appeal, now spreading around the country by Jewish movement called Back to the Temple Mount. This is spreading. It's Orthodox Jews that are doing this. The secular political parties of Israel, they're not into this. But the people are coming to that place that they really want this. And has Israel started rebuilding the temple? What's happening? The rabbi, Lipol, who is leading the project, told Israel 365 that he came up with the idea of starting to prepare the stones while he was on his way to the other rabbi, Kaniski, funeral, in March of this year, and they voted to start building, taking the stones and beginning to shape the stones. Then they're doing it because most of the quarries around Israel are Arab-owned, and they can't get into them. They're taking stones from the field, and they're actually shaping the stones, getting the stones ready for the temple. They're doing everything they can to get it ready. How long it's going to take to build the temple, we don't know. When are they going to start building the temple? When are they going to actually be putting the temple together, I should say that way? I don't know. Is it going to be after the Antichrist signs the seven-year agreement with Israel? That's very possible. Could it start before then? Scripture doesn't tell us that it can't start before then. But what we see in this particular... what we see in this particular thing is that Israel is looking for that peace agreement. Also, one of the things that have been missing, if they're going to build the temple in order to purify the people, because Israel is considered unclean because of their sin, and because they can't worship in the temple, they can't have the blood from the lamb spilt because they haven't come to the place where they recognize that Christ was that lamb. Okay? So in order to be purified, they need the ashes of a red heifer. And the red heifer has to be absolutely perfect. It can have no more than 5 white hairs. That's how perfect it has to be. And they take that from Scripture. Okay. Now, up until just recently, back in, it was 9/15 of this last year, 5 rabbi-approved red heifers arrived from Texas on Thursday, 9/15/22, to a ceremonious welcome at Ben-Gurion Airport and touched off a whirlwind of speculation as to the prophetic significance of their presence in Israel, and whether we are barreling toward a third temple period or the last days. These are particularly prophetic. And now they have all of that in place, right down to the very heifers that they need. And Bob gave me an article about one of the Jews have made this flute that is part of the worship, and it's a special deal. Don't have time to go into that. Okay, the third thing that need to look at here for Israel is the particular thing of that peace treaty. Blinken, just a few days ago, reminds Israel Biden administration committed to a two-state solution following Netanyahu's appointment. Two-state solution? I'll tell you, in Scripture, the peace treaty that the Antichrist signs with Israel, it says that it's out of the pits of hell. And it's not going to stand. It's going to come to an end. But Israel wants peace. Particularly Orthodox Jews want peace so bad, they're willing to make a pact with Satan to get peace. And that's where they're at today. And all of the prophecies, all the things that we see here are pointing toward that. What God says about this is different. He says, "For behold, in those days," this is Joel chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. "For behold, in those days," that's the days that we're living in now, according to the scripture, "in that time when I restore the fortunes of Judah and Jerusalem, I will gather all the nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat. Then I will enter into judgment with them there on behalf of my people and my inheritance, Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations, and they have divided my land." Whose land did we see there in the center of that picture? That's God's land. Israel really belongs to God. And what we don't realize oftentimes is that God is really in control, and He is the one that is setting up these things. Okay. Moving on for the next few minutes here, moving on to world developments. The decline of the USA. What's happening? What's really being taught in our schools? I could go to a lot of different areas right here, but right now I want to go to just this one thing. What's really taught in our schools? This, when I read this, this just blew my mind. This is the United States of America. Supposed to be the Bible Belt of the world. 69% believe white people have white privilege. You talk about the wokeism of today. 69%. 67%. America is built on stolen land. That's what 67% of people believe this. That America is built on stolen lands. 62%. The U.S. is systemically racist. You're racist this morning. Because you're white. Doesn't matter what you believe. That's what 62% is being taught and believed in our schools. 62%. Discrimination causes outcome gaps. I think that's supposed to mean income gaps. In other words, because of the discrimination, it says white people can make more money than people of color. 57% teach whites have unconscious bias. We're biased without even knowing. 51%, and this is one that over half now is being taught, gender is an identity choice. Over half of our people believe that gender is an identity choice. You can choose your identity. I don't need to tell you that we don't talk about millions and billions anymore. We're talking about trillions now. We're over $30 trillion in our national debt. Just passed another $1.7 trillion on top of that in government spending budget. We have spent ourselves into financial suicide. We've already committed. I mean, it's going to happen. I mean, there is no way that we can recover from this. Roman Empire, Daniel 7:23, "Thus he said, the fourth beast will be a fourth kingdom on the earth, which will be different from all other kingdoms and will devour the whole earth and tread it down." That's the Roman Empire. Okay? That's the fourth beast. Fourth beast was the Roman Empire. Now, verse 23 says this. This is the revived Roman Empire. 10 kings. "As for the 10 horns, out of this kingdom 10 kings will arise, and another will arise after them." That's the Antichrist. "He will be different from the previous ones and will subdue 3 kings. In other words, there's a a 10 king, I don't want to call it conspiracy, but a coalition. There's a 10 king coalition. And you'll see on that screen there, there's number one in green. That's talking about Canada and the United States merging together. Really? It's worse than that. This just happened. Biden administration proposes merging the U.S. with Mexico and Canada. The U.S., Canada, and Mexico become one area that's going to be governed by one king. You don't think we're moving in that direction of having ten areas of the world that are going to be ruled by 10 different kings? And out of those 10 different kings, there's going to come the Antichrist. We are in the throes of this very thing because it's not only happening here, it's happening all around the world. The tyranny. French President Macron. I could say some things about him this morning that would raise the hair on the back of your head. I mean, there are some that are claiming that he might be the Antichrist. And when you look at all of his characteristics, he sometimes, well, I don't know. Anyway, French President Macron, we need a single global order to avoid world war. We are on the cusp of a world war. And the way to avoid that is a single global entity. Part of this, this is Klaus Schwab, and I'm sure that probably most of you, if not all of you, have heard of Klaus Schwab now. It wasn't a household name a few months ago, but boy, it is now because of the World Economic Forum. He said, the pandemic represents a rare but narrow window of opportunity to reflect, reimagine, and reset our world. I mean, what does he mean? He means what he's saying. A cashless society. New York Fed. New York Federation launches 12-week CBDC pilot program with major banks. Banking giants, including all of these ones, Mellon, Citi, Wells Fargo, all of these banks, they're cooperating together to test for 12 weeks digital currency in New York City, in New York, the whole state. The New World Order economics are not ignorant of the importance of cash and its ability to inhibit their control. In other words, if you have cash, they can't control you because they can't control what you spend. But if there's no cash, if cash has no value, then they can control you because they give you digital money. And if you don't do what they say, then they cut your money. They stop your payment. If you buy too much hamburger, Bob, they're going to cut your money off. Bob loves hamburgers. They're aware that in order to completely control, track, and monitor the global population, they must first eliminate the use of cash. And I'll tell you, you can go into Starbucks and they won't take your money. You got to pay for it with a credit card. Okay. Along with that, I wanted to put this in there. Nigeria, you think this is happening just in the U.S.? No, the U.S. is behind in this. The other countries are already way ahead of us. China started with China, and now it is spread to over 100 countries. This is spread. Nigeria limits cash withdrawals to $45 a day in CBDC digital banking push. Central bank digital currency. That's what CBDC stands for. Central Bank Digital, Central Bank World Bank, okay? They're pushing that because they had instituted it and people weren't abiding by it. So what they said, okay, you're only going to get $45 a day cash to be able to manage, to force them in to being able to buy and sell the things that they need. $45 a day cash, you can't even buy groceries hardly for $45 cash a day. Okay. Okay, I want to finish up here. Got just a couple of minutes. We want to talk just a couple of seconds here, a couple of minutes, about the coming of Sodom's second coming. The omnibus bill, that's that $1.7 trillion bill they passed, $11 million goes to the LGBT special interest projects. Different ones around are getting a million here, a million there. But $11 million in LGB special interests. That's part of that bill. Revelation chapter 11 says this, and their dead bodies will lay in the street, talking about the two witnesses of the great city, which mystically is called Sodom and Egypt, where also their Lord was crucified. And you talk about this particular subject here, it's worse in Israel. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. Just the global persecution talked about in Revelation chapter 9. We'll come to this slide in just a second. Revelation chapter 6 talks about when the Lamb broke the fifth seal, I saw underneath the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and because of the testimony which they had maintained. And they cried out with a loud voice, how long, O Lord, holy and true, will you refrain from judging and avenging our blood on those who dwell on the earth? And there was given to each of them a white robe, and they were told that they should rest a little longer until the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who were to be killed, even as they had been, would also be completed. This particular slide, it says, are you praying? What this slide is about, you can see there that there's a policeman and another policeman in the background, and there's a lady standing there. She's somewhere, she's on the sidewalk, somewhere outside of an abortion clinic, and he comes to her, and he says, are you praying? She says, well, I might be in my head. And the story goes on, and he talks about all of these things, and he says, well, I need you to come downtown. And she said, I'm not coming with you. He said, well, then you're under arrest. I'm going to put you under arrest, so I'm taking you to jail. Because she admitted that maybe she was praying in her head. She wasn't saying anything. She wasn't jumping up and down. She didn't have any signs or anything like that. She was just thinking. And because she was thinking what is prohibited to think, in other words, they're going to control our thinking to where you can't think it or else be arrested. The final thing that I just want to touch on now for... I'll be done here in just maybe a minute or two is all. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, talks about not enduring sound doctrine. Okay? There's a lot we could talk about in this subject, but these are some things that haven't been really talked about. Kevin DeYoung, says in about Matthew chapter 25, and don't have time to turn there, but Matthew 24 and 25, particularly talking about the tribulation time and the time following the tribulation. He says, Matthew 25 is about social justice. in the sense that it is about caring for the needy. But the needy in view are fellow Christians, especially those dependent on our hospitality and generosity for their ministry. He wants more money for his ministry. And so if you don't give more money to his ministry, something's going to happen. Jesus says, if we are too embarrassed, too lazy, too cowardly to support our fellow Christians who depend on our assistance, that's Kevin DeYoung, okay, he's depending on your assistance, and are suffering for the sake of the gospel, he's suffering for the sake of the gospel, we will go to hell. If you don't do it, if you don't support me, you're going to go to hell. And he goes on to say, we should not make this passage say anything more or less than this. That's how far astray, how far into apostasy we're coming. Another guy, Dr. Kevin M. Young, says the best evangelism always done without ever saying a single word. That's the best evangelism. Just keep your mouth shut. That's your best way to evangelize. Scripture does not teach us that. That's for sure. Amy Grant. Anybody not heard of Amy Grant? To host same-sex wedding. The Bible and homosexuality. Creation. Sodom and Gomorrah. The Mosaic Law. Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul all condemn it. The Apostle Paul was pro-heterosexuality, 1 Corinthians, Ephesians, and 1 Timothy. Anti-homosexuality, 1 Corinthians, Romans, and 1 Timothy. We've come a long way in 2022. What does 2023 hold? You think it's going to slow down? We are living in the season when we can expect the sound of the trumpet and Jesus says, come. What a day that will be for those of us who have trusted in Christ. Father, we thank you this morning for your love, for your mercy to us. We thank you for the way that you've provided salvation for us. We thank you for the fact that while we see these things coming and realize that we're going to maybe face some uncomfortable situations, we know that in the end, we're going to get the most comfortable situation we've ever known when we leave these vile bodies and get our new bodies where we can stand in your presence and see you face to face. What a day of rejoicing that'll be. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen.